In our gospel today, we're presented with a man who is suffering from impairments of his senses. He can't hear. He's deaf. He's unable to take in sensory information that way. And therefore, he can't speak, unable to communicate with his tongue. Jesus, as he often does, goes about curing and healing. And he heals this man. He puts his fingers in his ears and says, "Ephatha, be opened." And the man can hear. He's restored. Then he's able to speak and his tongue is freed. We see in this a great physical healing, one of the many that Jesus worked. But whenever Jesus works some physical healing like this, there's always a greater spiritual healing that he wants to point at. One that, whether or not we can hear or speak, perhaps all of us need. The spiritual healing that is at need here is not so much that our ears would be opened, but that our hearts would be open. That we would be able to perceive, not just with our physical senses, but also with a spiritual sense. To notice not just sounds and sights, but to notice people. And especially to notice people in need. St. James, in our second reading, calls to our attention the distinction sometimes that we make between rich and poor. How we hold in esteem those who are rich and give them places of honor, but do we look down upon the poor? Or sadly, do we often just fail to even notice them? There are many people in need all around us, but are we opened, spiritually speaking, to see them? Are we open enough to do something about it? This weekend, I had the chance to celebrate our annual kickoff event for the Catholic Boy Scouts in the Archdiocese, our Holy Smokes cook-off and Catholic family campout out at the Chancery yesterday. It's a great opportunity to get all the Catholic Boy Scouts together, and I love being the scout chaplain. I've been a scout for 26 years. And one of the things that you learn as a scout is that you have to do a good turn daily. Scouts especially are supposed to be opened to the idea of the needs of others. In fact, when we think of people helping others, we often think of the scouts, because that's what they do. We're good Boy Scouts. We go out and we help people. There's the image of the scout helping the little old lady across the street. It's not just little old ladies that get help from scouts. The founding of the Boy Scouts in America is largely explained in a legend, although a true story, of the founder of the Boy Scouts of America, William Boyce. William Boyce was an American businessman who had a business engagement in London. While he was there, he arrived and there was a great fog over the city and he couldn't find where he was going. But out of the fog stepped a young man. He said, "Sir, may I help you? You seem lost." Mr. Boyce said, "I have a meeting. I don't know where I'm going. Can you help me?" Then the boy walked with him and took him right where he needed to go. And as Mr. Boyce reached into his pocket to pull out some money to reward the young man, he said, "No, sir, I can't accept your money. I'm a scout. I'm just doing my good turn." Well, William Boyce had never heard of these scouts, and he became interested in just what is this, the scouts. He would find out over the coming years and eventually bring the scouting program, founded in England, back to the United States, and found the Boy Scouts of America. To this day, the Boy Scout handbook in the front carries the story of that scout, known to us today as simply the unknown scout, because we don't know his name. It was a simple thing that he did, just helping a stranger through the streets of London, and he wouldn't have known that Dr. Boyce was anybody special. He just helped him, because it was his good turn. But we probably would not have the Boy Scouts of America today if it were not for this unknown scout who just did a simple thing that was required of him. He was opened enough to see a need, and he helped. That story has always stuck with me, but I saw that story really come to life yesterday in a way that is so amazing. that when I got there yesterday, people were immediately wanting to talk to me about it. And so I'd like this morning to share that story with you a little bit of what happened on our campout yesterday. It begins a year ago in, this time not London, but Olathe. There was a man by the name of Blaine. Blaine was 29, so a young man who was out riding his bicycle in Olathe. And he fell off his bicycle and was lying by the side of the road. And kind of like in the story of the Good Samaritan, many people were driving right by him. People were just going by and seeing Blaine lying on the side of the road. But then a scout came along, an Eagle Scout, as it were, and saw Blaine there, and he stopped. He got out of his car, bent down to try to minister to Blaine and let him know, "I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to call the police. We're going to get paramedics here to help you." Blaine was kind of disordered and not exactly sure where he was at and scared. And so he begged this scout, unbeknownst to him, that it was a scout, saying, "Please don't leave me." And the scout promised him, "I promise you I will not leave you. I will get help." Well, as the scout held Blaine in his arms there, he eventually kind of slipped out of consciousness and then woke up kind of again, and he looked up at the scout and said, "You're still here." The scout responded, "Of course I am. I'm an Eagle Scout. I told you I wouldn't leave you." Blaine looked up and said, "I'm an Eagle Scout too. Thanks for staying." Now, I'd like to tell you that I know that story today because Blaine shared it with me, but sadly that's not the case in this story. You see, Blaine had suffered from an acute cardiac seizure. He had a heart attack and actually died in the arms of that Eagle Scout that day. He was taken to the hospital, and the scout tried to find out what happened, but of course the hospital wouldn't tell him, so he just signed a card and left some flowers and was on his way, not knowing what had happened. Well, fast forward a year to yesterday at our Holy Smokes campout, and I had received a call yesterday from a man who said that his son had died a year ago, and he was a scout, and they had started a foundation because his son loved scouting so much that they wanted to help other scouts get to camp and get to college. And could they come out and set up a little booth at our Holy Smokes? And I said, "Sure." Well, it just turns out that these people that contacted me were Blaine's parents. I didn't know the story. I didn't know them. We'd never met. But they had their booth out there, and one of the other members of the Catholic Committee on Scouting happened to go by their booth and picked up their little brochure about the foundation they were creating. And as he's reading it, he's reading the story, and there's just a little paragraph that says, "And on that day that Blaine died, it just so happens that an Eagle Scout came by and ministered to him in his last moments." Our leader was very moved and just off the top of his head happened to ask, "Wow, that's an amazing story. Did you ever find out the scout's name?" And in this case, the scout is not unknown because he sent that card. The scout's name was Zach Schopper. And so the parents said, "Yeah, he sent a card, and so we know that his name was Zach Schopper." Well, it just so happens that Zach's dad, Mike, is a member of our Catholic Committee on Scouting, and he was there yesterday. And so, of course, the one leader recognized it, and when they said the name, he immediately started to cry and said, "Hold on, I think there's someone you're going to want to meet." And he brought Mike over and introduced him and said, "This is Mike Schopper. Zach is his son." And they got to meet for the first time, and Mike called his son Zach, who now lives in Salina, and Zach drove all the way from Salina to be with us last night for Mass and got to meet the Blaine's parents, the Billingers, who have set up this fund now for scouts. as all of us were moved with emotion at that story, I thought how simple it was what Zach had done. He didn't do anything that we would consider incredibly heroic. Zach never got a medal for life-saving. He didn't save a life. He simply saw someone in need on the side of the road who he thought had simply fallen off his bicycle, and Zach stopped. He promised him he wouldn't leave. He was just there, and that's all he could do, just be there and call the police. But those two Eagle Scouts at that moment, what an incredible gift. Zach was able to do what he could, which is just to be there. And then yesterday, he was able to provide some comfort to Blaine's parents, who could hear of the story of the last few moments of their son's life. And they were happy to know that he had been with a scout. Just a simple good turn. Just enough to stop the car and say, there's someone who might need my help, when many other people had gone by. That's a good turn. That's what scouts do. Zach was open. He was open in a way that apparently others weren't, to stop. But look what God did with that one simple gesture of compassion. He was able to bring comfort to someone who was dying. He was able to bring comfort to his parents. It's an amazing thing. With one simple act of openness to someone in need. I think God is asking all of us to have this kind of openness. As we look around us here, do we see the people in need? Do we recognize that there are poor people, people suffering, people who need us all the time right here in Johnson County, all around us? The question is then, are we open enough? God will not ask us probably to do something incredible and heroic. Oftentimes we think, oh, I could do that. If God asked me to do something incredible, I'd do it. God doesn't normally do that. What he normally asks us is simply to do the little things, to be open to the way he works every day, to do one good turn every day. God's putting the opportunities there. The question is then, can we hear his voice saying to us, Ephatha? That is, be opened.